Well, I've never done anything like this before. I've spoken in the public, giving lectures and speeches and things like that, but I've never had to tell anything about myself on a personal level. So with that, here I go. Now I know why everybody's nervous when they come up here. I grew up with my parents. I'm the oldest of three other siblings. I have a brother and two other sisters. My mom was the Christian in our family. She took us kids to church every single Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. We were involved in youth groups and Sunday school and all that kind of stuff. She also held weekly at the house a children's Bible storytelling hour and would bring in the neighborhood kids and for an hour read something out of the Bible, some sort of a child story. My dad, he worked in a factory. He was a non-believer, and he was an alcoholic. So the combination of a Christian woman being my mom and the alcoholic didn't mesh very well with family life. My dad worked very, very hard to provide for his family, working a lot of overtime, taking extra shifts, work night shift. But when he got off of work, he'd go to the pub, you know, go to the bar, get drunk, come home, wake my mom up, start an argument, a fight. You know, I was the oldest and would have to hide the kids and, you know, things like that because they were younger than I was. So at an early age, I learned how to protect. My dad was a physical abuser of my mom. I lost count, but it was bad. And he took corporal punishment to his children to the extreme. Around 8 years old, I was saved at Fort McKinley Baptist Church over in Dayton. When I was about 10 or 11 years old, my mom held one of the Bible story classes at the house. And my dad came out of the back bedroom because he would always stay back there. But he came out of the back bedroom literally bawling his eyes out. And he wanted my mom... he wanted to be saved. He wanted to give his life to Christ. And so in our living room, my father gave his life to Christ with my mother, his wife. And, of course, life did turn around to get somewhat better. About a year after that, we moved to Xenia. I got to keep track here. We moved to Xenia, and when I completed the fifth grade, when I completed the fifth grade is when we moved to Xenia. My parents found a church for us to go to. I got involved with youth groups, all the activities that the church had. Played softball in the church league, you know, things like that. I had also been taking gymnastics, baton, tap, those sort of activities. Started junior high school, and that's probably where things started going south. I was old enough to have a job, and so I decided to deliver the Dayton Daily newspaper. And no, it wasn't delivered by the car. It was delivered on the bicycle, okay? 3:30 in the morning, delivering papers, coming home, getting ready, go to school, come home, collect money, you know, that sort of stuff. Played my sports, went to school. I loved being away and out of the house. At 14, I changed jobs. I went to work for a pet store, still going to school, still playing sports. So, you know, that was my priority. I bucked my mom and dad. I quit going to church. They threw their hands up at me, didn't make me go anymore, things like that. And, you know, it was about me, what I wanted to do. At 16, in this very building, I started working for Halsey Super Value. Worked over in the produce department, which was over that way. Then Don Craycraft bought the store, and I started working for him. I was a dairy manager, which was over on that side of the store. So I have a history in this building. How ironic. At 19, Well, I moved out of the house and all that, and right after graduation, the day after I graduated, I moved out, moved in with the boyfriend, and got married shortly after that. And within 3 months of being married, I started being physically abused. The physical abuse increased each time that it happened. And it got to an extent that I didn't even know existed. And the last time that he laid hands on me, I literally cried to God to get me out of there safely. And God did that. And I left with clothes on my back, never to return, and I filed for divorce. So it took several months for the divorce to get finalized. And within about 3 months after the finalization of the divorce, you know, when I was living here in Xenia, I was always looking over my back, never felt safe after that. So I joined the Navy. And I remember getting on the plane, and it was the safest I had felt in over a year, you know, because I knew that I was no longer at the hands of this man, whether I turned right, left, forward, backwards, or whatever. This whole time, God really was not in my life. You know, I was moving on with my life, doing my thing, my way. I had control. I could handle it. And this is the path that it continued. Got out of boot camp, and what better place to go than Pensacola, Florida? I had school to attend there, and that's where I learned how to drink. And, you know, I thought to myself, man, people outside the military, they have no idea how to drink compared to this. Didn't think I was doing anything wrong. Well, 6 years into the Navy, I ended up coming home on leave. I met my brother back up here in Ohio, see the family and everything like that. My brother just had recently gotten out of the Army, and so we decided to go out drinking, and I ended up getting arrested for disorderly conduct. Running my mouth too much, you know, and so I got arrested for that. And my commanding officer was, needless to say, very furious about it. He ordered me to attend AA for a year. I was ordered to do 90 and 90. I was ordered to have a sponsor within 90 days. I was ordered to go to 4 meetings a week, and I was ordered to get my slip signed. How many of you had to do that? Been there. Okay. I learned a lot about myself during that time frame in regards to, I realized how much I could turn out to be just like my father, and I didn't want that. Even after that year was over and I completed everything with straight A's for my commanding officer, I still continued to go, because in that year I developed a lot of good friends, you know, and I understood them and they understood me, you know. Right before my eighth year in the military, I was sent over to Desert Storm. I did one tour over there, and upon coming back, it was time for me to either re-up or to, you know, get out, and I decided to leave the Navy. I was stationed at headquarters out in D.C. at the time, and I had a house in Maryland, and so I remained there, and I got a job as a government contractor for the Navy. That job took me into workaholism. I traveled anywhere between 1 to 3 weeks out of the month for a few years. When my mom came down with cancer, about a year and a half later after that, well, I should back up. When she came down with cancer, 6 months later, she passed away. About a year and a half later, I decided that I needed to change my priorities, and I wanted to be back here near family. I still had my father and two sisters. So I came back here, and so I came back here in September of 95 and putting in applications for jobs, you know, things like that. Couldn't get on as a government contractor anywhere. They didn't have any openings. So part of what I did in the military for the last 5 years or 3 years out of the nine that I served, I did military police down in Puerto Rico. So I put in an application at the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, and I was hired as a corrections officer, and I worked in the Montgomery County Jail. You know, it's the first time that I was exposed to people coming in drunk, people coming in high, wanting to fight, spitting on me, throwing feces on me, throwing urine on me, you know, the whole nine yards. It came with the job, you know. My heart broke for people, you know. When I had to work the first floor, which, you know, is the intake floor and everything like that, people that come in sick, you know, they put them in that cell for 24 hours to watch them. You know, I saw the people go through the dope sickness, you know, and everything like that. It was hard to watch that, you know. My heart broke for everybody. I put myself through the police academy, and then got promoted to court deputy. So I worked in all the court buildings at one time or another in Montgomery County. So the people that I would see in jail came through the doors to go to court, you know, or they came in to pay fines or, you know, whatever. I was then promoted to transportation deputy. I took prisoners to Lebanon Correctional. I took females to Mansfield, you know, things like that. But I also had a female work program where the females that, you know, had misdemeanor charges, drug charges, things like that, they got to go outside for a while, pick up trash, you know, clean lots, go to police departments and strip floors and wax them and buff them out, things like that, all right? I tried my hardest to talk to some of those girls to try to help them see, you know, that there's a better life for them if they would bring God into their life, you know. I'm talking God, and yet I'm not even walking it, you know. What a shame. I ended up going to the road working, and I worked 3 to midnights, and I worked midnight to 8. Those are the shifts that I preferred. I didn't have the seniority to work days for a long time. So I worked the road, and, you know, again, you know, I was involved with the arrest factors and, you know, drugs being stuck underneath my seat and, you know, things like that. I've seen a lot. I've seen it all, done it all. I think what one of the things that really hurt was, you know, the overdoses and having to go to your mom's house, your dad's house, your sister's house, and either with a detective, sometimes a chaplain, and break the news that you overdosed, your son, your daughter overdosed, they're not coming home, this is what we need to do, you know? And as the heroin got bad, the overdoses got bad. I started finding a church to go to, and I was going to church sporadically. It wasn't a Bible teaching church, and I went when either A, I didn't have to work, or B, it was convenient for me. I wasn't too tired or something like that, you know. I didn't take it seriously or anything like that, you know. I would pray. Didn't read the Bible much, but I did read, you know. I believed, You know, isn't that all you need? Well, it just so happens that on March 1st of 2015, I was at work, and I was walking back to my cruiser, and I fell and broke my ankle. Now, when I say I broke my ankle, I'm talking down on the ground, and my foot's laying on the ground in the opposite direction. So they had to do surgery on my ankle on March 10th, and they had to put a plate and 7 screws in it. And I had a positive attitude in the beginning about being able to get back to work. I went through physical rehab, and I went through 2 physical rehabs of intense physical rehab. I went back to work. I tried to work with the extra weight that I had to carry on me with the rig and the vest and everything like that. It adds a lot of pounds, and therefore it complicated my ankle with severe pain. I lived in pain basically 24/7 for about a month when I went back to the doctor and told him what was going on, because I had to think of not only my safety but the safety of my fellow officers and being not being able to respond properly, and to the public, you know. The doctor took me off of work, and that's when I started worrying. Put me back into intense rehab, and then they finally told me there wasn't any more that they could do for me. At the time, or still even at this time, there's no surgery that can fix me, all right? So I was forced into taking a medical retirement. Now, I went into a very, very, very deep black place at this point, okay? I was angry at myself for breaking my ankle. I was angry at God. I was angry at family. I was angry at friends. I mean, I just had a lot of hate, and I had a lot of bitterness. I shut the world out and didn't want to come out. And I kind of wallowed for quite a while. Surprisingly, I was diagnosed with depression, right? They wanted to put me on... Well, let me back up here for a minute. When I shut that world out, six years prior to my injury, I also picked up a part-time job as a driving student or a driving instructor. So my whole life consisted of working 2 jobs, and here I am at a point, not working either job. I'm unable to work out like I used to. I ran 3 to 4 times a week. I did kickboxing 3 times a week. I did weightlifting. And my whole life was working and working out. My whole identity was all about my job. Okay? That's where my identity was. So when I had nothing, I didn't know who I was. I felt like I didn't have a purpose. I was completely miserable. There were days that I wouldn't sleep, days that I would sleep for many days, days that I wouldn't eat, days that I would eat everything that wasn't nailed down, you know? So when I was diagnosed with depression, of course, the first thing that they wanted to do was give me medications, and I said, absolutely not. I spent too many years working and going to calls and things like that, and I was too afraid of going on any kind of medications of any sort. But I was open-minded to seeing a psychologist. So I started seeing a psychologist to talk some of this stuff out because I was completely broken. I wasn't ready to hang up my uniform for this stupid ankle, you know? Just wasn't ready. In May of 2016, I decided that I was going to walk away from everything. I literally sold everything in my house that I had accumulated as I bought that house 17 years ago. Sold everything except the essentials, and I moved into an apartment in Xenia. And from day one of moving into that apartment, I knew it was completely wrong. Everything that could go wrong went wrong the day of move-in, to include the movers breaking a brand new washer and dryer. My sister, now that I was living closer, because I came from Montgomery County over to Greene County, and now that I was living closer, my sister was coming over to see me on a regular basis. She was very concerned about me, and she said, "Hey, why don't you go to church with me? Why don't you go to church?" Every week, she was asking me. I finally looked at her and I told her, I said, "If you think I am going back to a Baptist church, you are absolutely crazy." You know? I was raised in a Baptist church, okay? So finally in December, I mean, she asked me, August, September, October, November. First week in December, she asked me to go to a service, and I said, "You know what? I will go with you if it will get you off my back and if you never ask me again." You know, that's just how I felt at that time, okay? So walk in those doors out there, and people are greeting. Handshakes, smiles. Okay. All right, you know. Well, I'm trying to come in here, but every time I'm trying to make my way, everybody's shaking and introducing themselves. And I thought, you know what? They're pretty nice around here. So that caught my first attention. So I sit down, and Pastor Josh gets up to give his message, and it just happened to be on joy and happiness and the difference between the two. Now, you know, a lot of times you just kind of want to sleep in a service when you don't even want to be there in the first place. Well, but Pastor Josh, I found out that was very enthusiastic, very loud, and knew how to get your attention. Well, you got mine anyway. And he drew me in. I was listening to every word that he was saying. And I realized that he was actually speaking directly to me. It had been so long since I felt any kind of happiness or joy inside. I thought because of the way I looked on the outside, I appeared to be happy. But it was so dark inside, it was just horrible. It was 2 days later, I was walking my dog, and I was returning back to the apartment, and there's these two guys standing at the door, the entrance door to the apartment building, and they're just standing there. So when I get back, you know, I ask him, "Hey, can I help you guys with anything?" Yeah, we're here to see Tanya Baker. I said, "Well, that's me." It was Mel and Paul. So they wanted to come in and talk to me for a while. And they came in and we talked for quite a while and everything like that. Now, that is the first time I've ever visited a church and then somebody from that church has come to my house. Okay? They were not pushy, you know, nothing like that. I mean, it impressed me. And I had a good talk with them. So I thought, you know, yeah, I'm coming back to Lighthouse. All right? So I started coming back and going to some more services. And, you know, I was so confused, so much pain inside. Because I have never been one to share. My father taught us that your business is your business. You don't air your dirty laundry, regardless of what it is. And that's how I was raised, you know. And I came in and met with Pastor Josh. I broke down like a baby. And I broke down so bad because I was completely broken. I was completely broken mentally, physically, emotionally, the whole nine yards. Went through some scripture, prayed, things like that, and he asked if I would, if he could, you know, get a mentor for me. And I said, sure. And my mentor, Kathy, called me. We met, and I was a little shaky at first. You know, here, I got to get to know this woman, you know. I'm not used to a lot of women friends because being in the military, being in law enforcement, I was always around men. Men were my friends. Men had no drama, you know, things like that. You know, and, you know, that's just for many, many years. So, you know, this has been a new thing, making female friends here in the church. But it wasn't, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks, and I ended up falling in love with that woman over there. Amen. And yeah, she's been the best thing that could have ever happened to me as far as getting back into church, you know. I started going to Life Group. And, you know, when I first started, I just kind of listened, you know, because I knew nothing, absolutely nothing. And the way I learn is to listen from other people that have more experience, are, you know, they've grown, things like this. I took a lot of notes, though. I have a lot of notebook pads at home. We were talking about, I shouldn't say we, the group was talking about repentance and praying and things like that. And I'm just sitting there listening, and this female sitting over there. Yeah, it was Beth. I'm going to, you know. She's sitting over there, and she made this profound statement, you know. She said what she had to say, but then the statement was, who do I think I am not to get on my knees and pray to God? Okay? And she was right. From that day forward, instead of sitting in my comfy recliner or sitting on the edge of the bed or sitting on the kitchen table chair and praying, you know, I got down on my knees. And I've been praying on my knees ever since then, okay? And it's made all the difference in the world, all the difference in the world. On January 15th of 2017, I rededicated my life, and I became a church member here. Thank you. I have had the honor of getting involved in service work here at the church, whether it's through myself volunteering or somebody calling and asking, hey, can you do, you know, and I've never done service work before, really. You know, and I found out that by doing it, there's a joy inside that I cannot even express in words. It's just something that really has filled me up, you know. And in the process of it, I've met new people, and I'm still making friends, you know. All right. I don't know what. Am I on time or not? I forgot to see a clock. How much? Okay. All right. How my life has changed since I have come here, gotten involved with a mentor, rededicated my life, things like that. First of all, God's in my driver's seat. That's just the way it has to be. I've been in my driver's seat pretty much all my life. You know, and I was that fence post Christian. If it fit, if fine. If it didn't, I'm doing it my way, you know. In the morning, my day starts with praising God first, getting on my knees and praying. And then I have a special area at the house that I do my devotion, my discipleship book, reading the Bible, and still some more praying. And then, you know, I turn on my music and go about and sing and do my own thing in the house, you know. I pray throughout the day. My day ends with prayers and thanks and asking for forgiveness, and I read the Bible. I attend church on a regular basis because, for me, I need the constant fuel. Amen. It's the only way I'm going to keep growing. Only way. For me to get started, I had to work real hard on building the right foundation. I like Matthew 7, 24 through 29. What it means to me is, when I first started here, my foundation was nothing but sand. It's become solid over the course of time because I practice obedience. Obedience is the only thing that's going to get me through the storms of life. As long as I keep God first, I'll be given the power to fight anything that comes to try to destroy me. I know that God is always with me, and He is ready to help me in everything when everything else is literally falling apart around me. I had to work on knowing the difference between believing and faith. Matthew 8:28. In the past, I believed, but as I started growing, I realized I really failed at having what is faith. Believing is not enough. By faith, I accept what Jesus has done for me, receive Him as the only one who can save me from sin, and live out my faith by obeying His word. Amen. Repentance. Psalm 83:7-19. And this is something that I had to do because I became very confused about my past and things like that. And pastor's wife, Candace, helped me out in that area. And it involves me to humble myself, turning to God to receive forgiveness. When I turn to God, He helps me see myself and my sins. And I can see my sins more clearly. As I see my sin, I must repeat the process of repentance. My true happiness has been found in God's love and doing His will. Not my will, not my possessions, not my money, not anything like that. God's principles for the right living will bring my lasting happiness. As I continue to grow, I will have times of great joy when I feel God is close, and there's going to be times when sin, struggles, and everyday tasks may overwhelm me. But no matter what, I should obey God, even if I don't feel like it. You know, you guys know the Ohio Revised Code?
No.
It's that book that police officers carry. It's got all the laws in it. We sit there and we look up those charges, you know? Well, it's bigger than this book, okay? And I spent 20 years knowing that book inside and out, all right? I mean, I worked hard at studying it, reading it, knowing where to flip to get numbers out of it, you know, and stuff like that. Well, I need to know this, and my goal is to know this inside and out and work just as hard at knowing this as I did that ORC. Because of what I know and I'm learning, I'm also learning how to listen to God. As Beth said earlier, I got a text last week, the end of the week, and you know, we tend to just text messages back and forth, but something told me I needed to pick up the phone. I read that text twice. Something told me to pick up the phone. I didn't say, oh, I'll just call her later. Something told me I needed to pick up that phone and call her, and that's exactly what I did. And I'm learning how to pay attention to all of that. That's just one of my recent ones, most recent. you know, but it becomes stronger as I continue to grow and pay attention. I can't thank Lighthouse Baptist Church enough. I can't praise God enough for where my life is at today. I know that I'm in the right place. I know my life is where I'm at. My retirement paycheck is less than 40% of my regular pay, and I kind of honed in on that initially. And I will tell you what, I am more happy now with less money. Okay, and I'm being serious. I'm being dead on serious. My commitments are still being met. I even get to tithe, you know, which I thought was a, I thought there's just no way I can do it. You know what? But every month when that check comes in, God comes first, everything else, and it just so happens everything gets paid. I still am able to put gas in my car, you know, food, help others out, things like that. And that is just a true blessing because I don't worry about it anymore. You know, my eternal life is up there, not down here.